Rick Emerson Show. Could we be more late? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent to the stars and man of the world, James Roop. Hello, sir. That is your official greeting. You know, you don't really have a catchphrase, but if you did, it would be that. That is your catchphrase. How is life in Los Angeles, brother man?
It's wonderful, sir. It's a beautiful day.
What is it like there?
77, 78, sunshine. Springtime.
Fantastic. Well, I remember, you know, it's funny that you just sort of, I don't want to get into the whole thing about Southern California, but even in February when I was last there, you sort of, just like in Portland, you sort of forget about the rainy season and you sort of block it out until it happens. You kind of forget what it's like in Southern California until you're there and you step off the bus or the plane or whatever, and it's just blindingly, blazingly bright there.
Yeah, it's the way it is today.
It really is just, it is almost oppressively nice in Southern California. Sometimes you're like, I just cannot take this perfect weather. All right.
Oh, I can.
Hey, it's your best day ever because they've got you talking about American Idol.
Yeah, it's my best day ever.
Yes, I can't. Maybe you'll get some sort of a trifecta where you get to talk about American Idol and Britney Spears and Anna Nicole Smith.
Speaking
of which, isn't it about Ann Phil Spector? Didn't they have some woman on the stand claiming that he pointed a gun at her a couple years ago?
Well, there's a hearing that the judge is supposed to let the prosecution know if he's going to allow this woman as a witness. She claims that a few times, more than twice, I guess, that Spector held a gun to her head. And another person, the same thing. It's just their way of trying to show some sort of pattern of gun violence or gun intimidation against women.
Look, I understand that, you know, whatever, but I'm not saying that she's asking for it, but how many times would Phil Spector have to point a gun at you before you decided that maybe you should date a different class of man? You know, I mean, really, I mean, it's like if you...
Yeah, you know. He did it once, you shouldn't give him the opportunity to do it again.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like if you have a roommate, you come home and he's sawing the heads off kittens. It's like at a certain point, you just got to be like, you know, I'm gonna find somewhere else to live.
You got to know when to move out.
I'm not going to hang out with whoever this is. All right. Do they have you? Here's a dumb question. I don't even know the answer to this. Is American Idol filmed in Los Angeles?
Yes.
All right. So now, are you going to...
I'll be at the finals. Yeah.
You're going to get to go?
Yes. I have submitted my application for credentials.
Are you an American Idol fan?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. That's what makes this even better, and I know that sounds like schadenfreude, like we're just...
I watched one portion of it last night because I had to.
We, here on the show, we have, and again, and I don't, it's not like I'm better than anybody. It's not like I think that I'm somehow above. Look, and I watch all kinds of lowest common denominator crap on television. It's just American Idol is just not my... I have no interest in watching a karaoke contest.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is. And I know that American Idol fans get angry when you call it that. And I have... Sounds like I'm talking about, you know, like minorities. But I have many friends who are American Idol fans. People who are intelligent, people whose opinions I respect, who enjoy American Idol. I'm just not one of them. Because to me, it's nothing that I can't see at a local bar any night of the week, you know, except without having to sit through Simon Cowell's crap.
Yeah.
So,
and if you bring thousands upon thousands of people together in hundreds of different cities, you're going to come up with 12 people who sing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what kind of contest is that?
Well, that's why I find this thing with this Sanjaya guy to be fascinating, because I am for anything that sort of screws with the system. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
I am for any, and Sarah and I were talking about this, that I've never seen him sing except on YouTube. I've never watched an episode of the show with him on it, but somehow...
I saw him last night.
Yeah, but somehow it's like it's become this whole sideshow that even without having watched American Idol, I kind of know the whole story already.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's just sort of screwing up the whole works. Now, is your read on this that this is... How do I put this? Is this all by design? Are they having this sideshow with him go on? Is it all a construct to get attention?
It is being allowed to continue. If you take a look at the fine print, I've not read it, but I've heard people, but people have told me, and people who know have told me that the bottom line is the producers have final say over everything that happens, regardless of what America says, regardless of what the judges say. The producers have final say.
Right.
So they're allowing this to happen because it does make the show more interesting. They've realized they're getting more eyeballs out of it. And this Sanjaya guy is going to come up with some kind of career because he's starting to put on the charm and he's starting to fool all of America that he's got something.
Well, you know, and here's the thing is that guy, girls dig him.
Yeah.
Young teenage girls. And if you can sell to teenage girls, that's where it all is. Because if you sell to teenage girls, you not only get their money, you get their dad's money. Because the teenage girls control the pocket strings of the fathers in this country. That's just the way that it's that's the way that it goes. Little girls get their daddies to buy them things. And so that's,
I have first-hand knowledge of that.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what I'm talking about. So that guy's going to walk out of this with some kind of recording deal because they are going to see the fact that he is...
Or even if not a recording deal, some sort of, you know, Nickelodeon show or some kind of crazy crap's going to happen to this guy because he just... Because everybody, it started as a goof, and it's become like almost a cult classic, you know?
Well, and it's just, and all you really have to do in America, and I'm just sort of stating the obvious here, but all you really have to do in America is just to sort of become known or famous on some level, and then it becomes a self-perpetuating situation.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of people that prove that out, and
well,
there's Hilton, one of them.
I mean, there's a whole, the reality TV, though, has just, I mean, it's just, this has become, there's a whole series of people out there who are only famous because they have been on reality television, and then they have played that into other reality. There's actually...
I only consider a few things actual reality television. Real World on MTV, that's reality TV. That's everything else is a contest.
Yeah. There's some,
a game show.
There's some program, and I forget what it's called, but there is... there's a reality show or so-called reality show out there right now. I forget what it's called. My wife watches it, where it actually tracks a woman who was in turn on some other reality show. And so it is a show tracking her life as a woman who was once on a reality show. So it's this whole snake eating its tail thing. All right, we have Tim Riley at the news desk just handed this to me. We have breaking news here. Sarah, is my computer up, or do I have this off over here? I'm sorry, that's me. I had it off on this end. Let me, where's my breaking? Oh, this is sad. I don't know if you have this yet, Jim. This was just handed to me. Bob Clark, known to Americans as, this is such a downer. Bob Clark, known to Americans as the director of A Christmas Story, was killed today on California's famous Pacific Coast Highway.
Oh, you're kidding.
When his car smashed head-on into an SUV driven by a man suspected of being under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
I don't have that yet.
Clark's son, 22-year-old Ariel Clark, was riding with his father and was also killed in the crash. Oh, that sucks. He directed Christmas Story, and then my generation also knows him as the man who, I think he directed the first Porky's film, and he produced all the others, sort of a yin and yang there. But his enduring legacy is directing A Christmas Story. This is from TMZ.com, but they've got details, they've got all the specifics here. It looks very on a level. And TMZ is not known for being wrong about these things. Bob Clark, director of A Christmas Story, producer of the Porky films, killed today in California's Pacific Coast Highway when his car smashed head-on into an SUV driven by a man suspected of being under the influence of drugs or alcohol. His 22-year-old son, Ariel, was also killed.
Is that
killed.
The crash that happened about 2:30 this morning?
It happened at 2:30 this morning.
Yeah.
TMZ has learned that the police arrested 24-year-old Hector Velasquez Nava, the driver of the SUV, on suspicion of gross vehicular manslaughter, and that he will be booked when he's out of the hospital. The Clarks were riding in the Silver Infinity around 2:30 this morning on the PCH in the Pacific Palisades. The Infinity was badly damaged. The SUV's front end was mangled. And again, Bob Clark, director of A Christmas Story, dead, along with his son in a car accident. Well, that sucks. Ugh. Well, that's a big downer. All right, well, sorry to be Johnny Buzzkill on the phone with you here.
Sorry, man.
Good God.
That had to be said. Doug, man, that's one of my favorite shows, favorite movies.
I mean, God. I mean, he's just one of those guys that you don't, I don't think I don't want to overstate. It's not like he's an Orson Welles figure or whatever, but certainly a guy who had an impact on a lot of people's. I mean, you talk about a movie that has been seen by everybody in the freaking continental United States. Everybody. Everybody. There are few films that you can conjure up in this country of ours, in this culture of ours in America, that there are very few films that you can point to everyone almost randomly in a room and say, hey, have you seen A Christmas Story? And Christmas Story, everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
There's probably only a handful of films that you can do that with, where you can take a random group of people and almost 90% of the people in that room will have seen it.
You're absolutely right.
Well, anyway, well, that's a big downer. Just so we don't end on a complete down here, I wanted to ask you real quickly this thing. Did they just do some Democratic primary poll?
Yeah, well, the both Democratic and the Republican poll. But you have to remember that. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, it's no surprise. Hillary Clinton's out front of the Democrats, and Rudy Giuliani out front for the Republicans. But remember, right now, it's just name recognition. You know, I mean, it's way too early, and so those who are likely to vote in the primary, and that turnout's very small, as you know, those who are likely to vote in the primary say they are more likely right now to vote for Hillary for the Democrats and the Republicans to vote for Giuliani. But that's just because people know them right now, and no specifics or any other information about the other candidates has really come out yet. All these numbers are going to change.
This is the thing that I always say about Hillary Clinton, though. So the point I consistently make to Lisa Goddard about this is that I think Hillary Clinton, I'm not saying she'll be the next president, but she will be the nominee. I don't care what Barack Obama does. I think it'll be Hillary Clinton, and I'll tell you why. Because Barack Obama still has to go through the media threshing machine,
yeah,
where they dissemble him and find every bad thing he's ever done that we don't know about, and where they sandblast the glow right off of him. Hillary Clinton is, you know, whatever, she's among Democrats who are likely to vote. I mean, depending on the poll you read, she's polling, I mean, huge numbers, massive numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's after, that is after 15 years of the country just learning and every bad thing about her.
Too, she's been around.
Yeah, and not just been around. I mean, the Republicans have had her in the crosshairs for 15 years.
Yeah.
Even before she was a public official.
I got to tell you, if she becomes the Democratic nominee, whoever the Republicans throw at her, especially if it's Rudy Giuliani, I don't think she has much of a chance.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, and I'll tell you why. I'm simply looking at it just from my opinion as a political sort of realist. My opinion is this, that Hillary Clinton beats probably almost any, as they say, just an unknown white male. I would say she probably beats him, and I'll tell you why. Because all it would take, because presidential elections in this country, you know, they're just separated by 3-4 million votes usually. All it would take is someone like, and the example I always go through is somebody like an Oprah Winfrey to get on television and to speak directly to that base of women that is typically politically passive or apathetic or inactive and say, a woman is running for president, you got to get out, vote, do it tomorrow. I mean, that's it. And that's the ball game right there. That's the election. Because all of the people who hate her with a fiery passion, all those people already vote. That's my thing. Is that, A, the people who hate Hillary Clinton already do. The people who love Hillary Clinton have heard 15 years of reasons not to, and they still do. So her numbers, in my opinion, aren't going to change much. People have already made up their mind. The numbers aren't going to change. The people who hate Hillary Clinton, let's say the people most likely to hate her, the very right wing, the evangelicals, those types, they already vote in record numbers. It's people, the people who don't vote are typically minorities and women. And so all it would take is minorities and women to turn out at a higher rate, and she'd be in, like Flynn. That's my read on it.
I still don't think America's ready for female president.
Well, they might not be.
And that's not my opinion. I just from feeling the pulse of all the stuff that's going on, I don't know. You know, I know a lot of Democrats out here that are saying, are we going to find anybody? What about Richards? What about somebody else? Tommy Thompson? Whoever? Who cares? Someone's got to come into the ring. That's why I'm saying.
I don't
know that they're ready for that.
I'm not sure America's ready for it, but I think America might get it just because. And it might be this weird thing where it's like, you know, it's like with Kerry. I mean, when Bush and Kerry were facing off, I think political affiliations and ideology aside, I think we can all say that during the 2004 election, as a country, both left and right, we were just like, come on, are these the two best guys? Really? Seriously? This is the best we can do?
Yeah.
John Kerry and George Bush? Are you kidding me? No one from either party felt that the guy who was running on their ticket was the best we could do as a country. Everybody was, they were like, what, this crap is the best we've got to choose from?
Yeah.
But that's just the way that the process winnowed itself out. I think that it's going to end up that she is the Democratic candidate, certainly. And I think the number crunching, just the mathematics of it, may end up putting her in the White House, even if nobody really wants her there.
I think what's going to happen is that she's going to realize that if she becomes the Democratic candidate, she won't get voted as president because it's still against the Republicans. Now, with that said, I think whoever does, I think there'd be some kind of backdoor deal that she'll say, I'll support you if you take put me on the ticket as vice president. I think she'll be a candidate, but I think she'll be a vice presidential running mate.
A vice presidential running mate to
whoever the Democrats decide.
Maybe. I
don't think this is decided in a primary. I don't think it's decided. Well, not decided primary. Primary is who's going to be the candidate. But I think it's all decided long before that.
They won't give
the people the choice, really.
I mean, all I know is that it's only April of 2007, and it already feels like it's about mid-election year.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even
imagine.
I'm
not exhausted, you're right.
Oh, I mean, it's going to be, by August of 2008, I mean, we're going to all feel like we're running a 40-mile marathon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be crazy. So, I'll let you go, although, by the way, I should point out that I've got some listeners sending me stuff, and it's already been, the major news outlets, as they say now, are starting to confirm that Bob Clark is dead. So, yeah, he was the guy killed at 2:30. On the PCH.
Okay.
That sucks. All right, man. Sorry to be Johnny Killjoy. We will have speaks with you in the very near future, my friend. Enjoy your Southern California afternoon.
Thank you all very much.
Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles. All right. Well, that sucks. Big downer. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour at, I don't know, 135, 140 or so. We'll talk to our good friend, Mr. Skin. We have Peter Carlin at 2. We have a top 5. We have Likas at 3. We have Donna Mike at 7. It's all on the way, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. I think so.
I don't know.
I think those are all natural.
I'm thinking no.
I'm sorry, Tim. Your microphone is off. Are you speaking about somebody who got a hand transplant? Yes, a hand transplant.
Yes.
I think her fingers are all natural.
See, and I don't think they are.
Maybe she uses the dishwasher. So awkward. What are you talking about over there? I think we're having that one conversation over here, and you're having another conversation over there. Perhaps so. However. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Well, let's interrupt this tantalizing awkwardness, which we will revisit here in a moment. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up next hour, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is going to join us. Later on, Tom Likas, Donna Mike at 7. In just a moment, we'll go to the Tim Riley Ministry of Truth AM 970 desk news place thing from where he broadcasts from with the news and the stuff and the hey-hey and the wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. In the meantime, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database, our good friend Mr. Skin. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
I don't know. I think I might be a little intoxicated today, but I'm not sure.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's true. Hey, it's been a couple weeks since we talked to you. How's life? How's things? How's nudity, my friend?
Well, you know, the big, since we last talked, I had started the March Nakedness tournament kind of followed along with the NCAA tournament at our site, where we had 64 of the greatest nude scenes of all time broken up into brackets, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. And just like the tourney, which ended this week, the Mr. Skin's March Nakedness ended this week, and the winner is voted by the people the greatest nude scene of all time, Alyssa Milano in Embrace of the Vampire.
Really? Now, Embrace of the Vampire, which I have seen, that's...
You're one of the few people that's actually watched the movie and not just the nude scene.
Here's why, actually. It's fun, and I'm pretty sure, now I might be wrong about this, but if memory serves, we had this is a few years ago, we had you on to talk about nude scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, a listener had called up about Alyssa Milano. You had said, hey, let me tell you about Embrace of the Vampire. And I think a listener then dropped off a DVD of it.
Oh, cool.
And so when I say watch, what I mean, of course, is I fast-forwarded through the film just to see the nudity. And is this the same movie that has, like, some lesbian action? Or am I thinking
you
something
got
else?
It. It has not only Fantastic. Lesbian action, but menage a trois action. And
Excellent.
Pretty much every... If those things aren't happening, she's running around naked in the movie. So it's a classic.
Where did the Phoebe Cates Fast Times at Ridgemont High thing come down?
She actually got upset coming out of the 80s bracket. Kelly Preston advanced out of the 80s bracket in the Erotic Eight and beat Kelly Preston in Mischief, beat Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which really surprised me. But again, if you watch the nude scenes head-to-head and had to choose one, I could see why people chose Kelly Preston. And it's fine. We had over 100,000 votes on this thing. So the people have spoken. I can't complain too much.
I'm looking at it right here. And so the final face-off was Alyssa Milano, Embrace of the Vampire, and Halle Berry, Monsters Ball.
Yeah, exactly. And believe it or not, Alyssa Milano beat Halle Berry 62% to 38%. Halle Berry, of course, coming out of the 2000s bracket. But I think Halle Berry was... hurt by the fact that Billy Bob Thornton was also nude in the scene, and that could have hurt on the voting.
Yeah, no one wants to see that. He's not an whatever one thinks, he's not an aesthetically pleasing man, I don't think.
No.
You know what? Somebody tipped me up to, we're talking to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Somebody tipped me toward, am I getting the name of this movie right? Is there actually a movie with Mimi Rogers called Full Frontal Massage?
Full body massage.
Full body massage, okay.
And it should be full frontal massage because it is. It's one of the true skin classics of all time. Picture Mimi Rogers in her all-natural glory, and yes. She is very big of breast. And then you take a movie where it's basically her getting massaged by Brian Brown, the Australian dude from Cocktail and FX, where they just talk while he's massaging her naked body throughout the whole film. It's a skin classic.
That's fantastic. I don't need to see a preview. I don't need to read the back of the box. That's a thing. I'm going to buy that, and it's going to go in my collection right now.
Oh, yeah. It is one you have to own.
Fantastic.
Full body massage.
What else is coming up in the future of MrSkin.com? What comes out this week?
Well, Grindhouse is the big movie, of course, in theaters, and there's a lot of there's definitely some nudity, not from any of the big names, Rose McGowan's and a couple other girls, but there's definitely some skin, some underwear, some nudity. You're going to want to check that out. Grindhouse is in theaters this week. One thing I found that I'm very excited about is a movie called I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, which is an Adam Sandler / Kevin James of King and Queens movie, which will be in theaters in July. We tracked down some amazing pics of Jessica Biel in her underwear from that, and it looks very promising. There won't be nudity, but Jessica Biel in her underwear is going to be better than most actresses naked anyway, and we just found some pics of that. I'm very excited about it. It's called I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. It'll be in theaters in July.
Excellent. All right, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Rick.
Take it easy. There you go. Mr. Skin, ladies and gentlemen, fantastic. Yes, somebody sent me the link to this Mimi Rogers film. Mimi Rogers is one of those women you don't really think about a whole lot.
You think about her. You mention her.
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
Wasn't she married to Tom Cruise?
She was. She was.
That's the forgotten wife, isn't it?
She's the first wife that no one ever really thinks of when you talk about Yezu, because he's been married three times now.
Yeah.
I just kind of put that together in my head. Not that I really care about Tom Cruise, but
he doesn't know how to keep him happy.
Three times. Good God. I don't understand why you would get married more than twice. I think if you've been married, I mean, and I don't mean any disrespect, because I know people who've been, Clyde's been divorced three times.
I have a relative, I'm not going to say, I have a relative that's been married and divorced seven times.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, close relative?
Mm-hmm.
Brother-in-law?
I just have my sister.
Okay, I'm just guessing. Seven times?
Seven times.
I just don't understand.
Every holiday it's a different person that this person brings like over to our house for Christmas Eve dinner.
Male or female?
I don't know. He lives kind of close to here.
All right. No, I'm just... Whatever. I mean, people, you know...
It's ridiculous, though. I mean, because it just... You can't even keep track of them.
I mean, your life is your own. You can do what you want. I don't care. But it seems like you sort of get a pass for the first one. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like if you're married and divorced once, Well, okay, you know, so maybe you get married too young, or the, you know, whatever. You
did. Oh, you're from California.
Yeah, yes. You didn't really know what you were looking for. You know, whatever. Fine.
You were looking for a Jaguar, and you had an escort. I just know someone who did that. You had a condo. You wanted a bigger house.
I have bad credit. How can I fix that easily? How can I get the INS to quit calling my house? You get married and divorced the first time, but it seems like, okay, then you give it a second time. And I hate to sound so just flip about this, but it seems like your second marriage is sort of the real one for some people. You know, I'm not saying that's the case.
Ronald Reagan.
Exactly, yes, which is why there's so many forgotten first wives and husbands. I'm not trying to sound flip about that or my own marriage or whatever. I'm just saying that I can understand two marriages. But if you get married twice and divorced twice, you can be with someone, you can be serious with someone, you can live with someone. Why would you ever get married a third time? Like, how many times are you allowed to say forever and ever till death do us part before somebody's just, like, doing rim shots behind you at the funeral? You know what I mean? All right. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's 503-733-2970. Let me get these calls. Then we'll go to Tim Riley. I'm just saying, here's my thing, Sarah. I'm almost positive those are real. And this is a conversation we were having before Mr. Skin came on. Why do you think that they're fake? Do you know, has she ever told you they were fake?
Well, no, I haven't spoken to her in some time, but just the way that they're portrayed.
Are you saying that just the way she looks?
The way that they're displayed makes it seem like maybe it's something that she had purchased and wants to show them off. Her new hands.
Let me understand this.
Are you talking about somebody's gardening?
Yes. What are you doing over there? No.
Oh.
we're talking about someone that Sarah and I both know.
Oh, I'm just listening passively.
I will not specify who it is. Right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone else really knows who they're.
No. So I'm just saying, now, is your speculation...
I'm 100%...
That they're implants because of the way... And how do I
would bet
this?
You $10, and that's a lot in Sarah land, that they're they're fake.
Do you think that they're fake... When you say because of the way they're displayed, do you mean, and I'm speaking medically now, we are speaking medically on this News Talk radio station.
Yeah, they look really bally.
Part of the, it's blow my whole thing.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's just image in my head is all icky. Are you saying because of the way they sit? In other words, and again, I'm speaking now medically.
That's a push-up bra, or?
I'm saying, here's what I knew. Now, Nicole Kidman, real or fake? I think fake.
See, I think real.
See, here's how
this
here's
is
the thing.
We should have been talking to Mr. Skin about.
Yeah, but you know, it would have been like a 9-hour conversation with that guy. I love that guy, but he can just go on and on and on. I remember Nicole Kidman when I saw her in My Life with her laying on her back, and they did not move to the side. They were straight up. They did not shift to the side. And that's
well, sometimes women with smaller boobs, they don't move.
Well, she was very young too.
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying, is it?
They're very taut, like a Swedish boy.
Yes. Is it because they're like big Sook's bosoms? Is it, are you saying that you think that hers are fake because of the way that they look aesthetically or because of the way she chooses to show them?
I'm saying aesthetically and the way she displays them.
So it's like if you buy a new car, you don't keep it in the garage.
I'm not thinking, you know, and like your whole about, you know, how you don't think that she's all about the boobs. I think she's all about the boobs.
Hmm.
I think that she's hypnotized you with said boobs. That's all.
Wait, it seems like that really does... That really, it seems like that deserves some sort of a sound effect. Hold on. Hypnotized with... Hold on. This, what's my hypnotized with the boobs? Look at my bosoms! No, I guess it is. All right.
From the
and then we'll get Rob and John here in a second.
This is Tim Riley.
Teenager facing burglary charges after he broke into the same salon several times. Matter of fact, the detectives say he broke into Great Clips Hair Salon on Southwest Farmington Road at least 8 times over the past 2 weeks, and every time he would steal cookies and other food items and take small amounts of cash. You think of it the first time, they wouldn't leave small amounts of cash around. More cookies, apparently. He was caught in the act Sunday night after somebody put some motion sensors in.
Remember to leave some cookies out for the thief.
Meanwhile, a Portland cruise turned into a sick trip for more than 30 people on the Columbia. The Center for Disease Control said 26 passengers and several crew members of the Empress of the North suffered diarrhea and vomiting on the cruise. They should have eaten at Great Clips.
They have better cookies. The Empress of the North is the name of the ship. The cruise line said workers cleaned and sanitized the ship, whatever that means.
Can I just mention something?
Yes, please.
Hey, Sarah, you know that, well, you see, this doesn't affect you, Tim, because you're a vegan and whatnot. It's paying off for you. Did you, we won't mention who this is, but did you, remember that pizza that was brought in on Friday?
Yeah.
Did you, did you have any, unpleasantness after eating that?
No.
All right, just checking.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
I read some email about, something.
I didn't, but there was an email that went out from, there was a salesperson who we will not identify, one of the AEs, an account executive, a salesperson, brought some pizza in from a local pizza business, and, kind of gave it onto the radio stations, as they always do, with a note saying, you don't have to mention them on the air, but they'd sure love it if you'd mention where you got this tasty pizza from. And as I've said, if you ever want to get me not to mention something, tell me to mention it. Because
I believe that's against company policy.
Yeah, it's like if a restaurant ever sends free food over, I will absolutely never mention the name because I don't want to get tagged for that.
The pizza's only worth like $5.
Yes. Seriously. I'm not gonna blow my job over it, thank you. So she was like, well, so you can mention the name of the place if you'd like. She's probably glad that nobody did, though, because then a memo went out Monday morning. Sorry if anybody was chain vomiting all weekend for the pizza. She's like, I spent all weekend being violently ill. but it was free.
Oh, I did eat two pieces of it, too.
Yeah, I was fine. Rob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, man. The new logos are looking fantastic.
The what?
The logos for the party.
The logos for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 happening Thursday, April 19th at Barracuda.
Hey, I got some friends who are asking where do they get tickets for this thing, or how's this going to work?
By God, I'm glad you asked that. Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, happening Thursday, April 19th. It's absolutely free to attend. One needs no ticket. One needs merely to be 21 years of age or older and to appear at the door of Barracuda no later than 7. Well, I guess you can come later, but it starts at 7 p.m. Thursday, April 19th. No ticket required, Rob.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
Hey,
I'm pretty excited.
Rob, I'm sorry I didn't call you back yesterday. I'll give you a call after the show.
Right on.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Later, guys.
Thank you. John.
Hey.
Hey. What?
Excellent. I'm going to the party, too. It's going to be so much fun. I was calling about the multiple marriage thing.
Yes,
there's so much criticism about people who are afraid to commit in a relationship.
Yeah.
Can't we kudos people who are not afraid to commit?
People who are afraid to commit
times.
Over and over and over again.
I will marry you for time and eternity, and if that doesn't work, hey, back at bat. Get right back up there, get back at the saddle, cowboy.
Somebody's Mormon. I know you're Mormon. I can tell.
And I'm reading about Mormon fundamentalists right now. I know exactly what you're talking about. Where the women can't have their freedom, but the men can be as faithful to as many women as they want
totally.
To.
Totally. And when you hear somebody use that phrase, time and eternity.
Yep.
Well, that's true. You got me there, but I grew up Mormon, but I got better.
Yes, so you're a recovering Mormon.
I don't think Mormons are allowed to laugh.
No, it's a lifetime thing. It's like being addicted to methamphetamines or something. You think you're okay, but don't turn your back on it.
Are you going to go see the Utah Jazz tonight?
They will come for you. No, I'm running away the other direction.
It doesn't matter. They're going to lose anyway.
It's the guys with the shirts and the ties,
That's true. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Heavenly Father will forgive you for making fun of his religion. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, first quarter sales for albums down by 16%.
That's hard to believe.
The consensus around the music industry is this is due to a weak release schedule. Keep dreaming. The consumers lost some confidence, probably number one.
Turn around any minute now.
And a reduction in store space?
I don't get that one. Well, because there are fewer albums being sold because there are fewer places to sell them because the stores are all closing because nobody's buying records. It really is just a big, it's a cyclical thing. It's just a whole snake eating its tail. Here's the other thing, the excuse that is constantly peddled. We've been talking about this recently with the iTunes Store and the EMI having no digital rights management, which means that it's not. Because like right now with iTunes, the way it is now in the iTunes Store, and it should prove how great their marketing is that I use them and I don't even have an iPod. With the iTunes Store, you buy something and you can only put it on, you can only burn it, 4 times or something. And then it locks. And so the deal is I just burn it and stick it in my jukebox immediately so I circumvent that problem. But What was my point? Oh, but they artists and the industry are constantly saying that it's that the record sales are down because music's just not as good as it used to be, which is, of course, what old over-the-hill cretins say about everything. Every time there's any sort of glitch or flaw or downturn in the record industry, aging hipsters and baby boomers always lament the fact that it's because there's just no good music being put out now. And it's reality. People just don't want to pay $19 for a CD. So, you know, especially when you have to drive all the way to the store and to do whatever. Man, it's like that Roger Klein CD that I bought the other day. I just sitting there in my underwear, just hitting the buy button, and about 40 seconds later, the whole thing's on my machine. It's just, it's hard to compete with that.
Meanwhile, it wasn't quite what visitors expected to see. Visiting the Israeli zoo, a crowd of people were shocked to see a massive male elephant chase his female mate around the pen before slamming her against the wall and mauling her to death. The giant African elephant named Yoshi weighs nearly 7 tons, so, well, using a stun gun wouldn't have helped. It is the world's largest elephant held in captivity. They believe the elephant had a fit of rage for some apparent reason. He previously mated peacefully with his female friend and gave birth to 20.
All right.
Meanwhile, British Prime Minister Tony Blair expressing his gratitude for the release of 15 British naval personnel. Initially, Blair confronted Iran by saying he would not negotiate. But his Army Undersecretary, John Reeder, says he doesn't buy that claim at all.
The fact is that I think that there was some negotiations. We don't know all that. There was a letter written, I believe. I don't know the contents of it, but the act of writing a letter treats that country as another nation.
So there, who knows? What else do I have here?
I know. Let's do like two more, and then we'll take a break. Come back with Peter Carlin.
Patty Page is about to turn 80, and she continues to remain active.
I was dancing with my darling.
That was her most popular song. She says it's not difficult for her to find incentives to work.
I think what motivates anybody to do something is because they feel that they can add something to whatever is happening, and hopefully they can add to it, and the money's very good.
What is she even talking about?
Turning 80. I'm continuing to work.
She sounds like one of those Alzheimer's people that doesn't quite know what you asked her.
Mm-hmm. She's working on a new album.
Yes, she does.
It's going to be released later.
Sure, she is.
Well, the recording industry needs things like this.
Because of the week release schedule.
Yes.
Scotty, should I be answering whatever these phones are? They're just sort of sitting there unscreened. All right, okay, thanks. All right, Stu, well, one more. We'll come back. We'll hit the Ministry of Truth again on the other side and then talk to Peter Carlin.
New Jersey drivers heading into Newark. You're being welcomed by billboards that read, "Help wanted. Stop the killings in Newark now." And now the city's mayor wants them taken down. They're paying for 6 billboards there. They went up about 2 months ago after the city's worst year of murders in a decade. There have been 19 murders in Newark so far in 2007.
Well done.
And, only 106 murders last year. The mayor says the signs are fueling a negative image for the city.
Of course.
He campaigned with a promise to drive down crime, but some local merchants say the ads are driving away business. The signs will stay up until the killing slows down, says the mayor.
That's so great. That's so... Imagine living in a city where the mayor has to make that threat. Until the killings cease... That's great. He didn't even ask them to cease, but to slow down.
Yeah.
Could you please just slow up on the killing? Good God.
Space it out over the course of the year.
Don't kill all at once. You don't use it all up now.
Save them for the holidays.
You mean kill everybody now, you'll have nothing to do later on in August.
There won't be any sharpers left.
Scotty is typing on the screen. You and Sarah need to remind us who you're talking about. We've never said who we were talking about. We have never identified... the person about whose breasts we were talking, that Sarah believes to be fake. And that, here's what I will say. I know breast-wise. I'm saying we never said who it was. We have never said, and we'll never identify who we were talking about in any way. I'm saying
it's not
this.
Important.
It's not important.
Even for a sizable donation to Dornbecker's?
Listeners are curious, so am I. What?
Even for a sizable donation to Dornbecker's for the children?
Well... perhaps. I do like to do things for the children. I'm saying this. I would say that perhaps she had a lifting of some kind done. I would say that. Maybe a lifting. Maybe
I think
some...
A fill-in. She got them filled in. That sounds wrong.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah,
we should break
that
now.
That's okay.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Back after this. Come back. We'll revisit the Ministry of Truth. And then Peter Carlin here from the Oregonian to talk about the season 6 of The Shield and The Sopranos and Entourage, which both debut this coming Sunday. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.